keep the rail corridor or spend billions re. Public transportation is needed more, letter, November 28. There appears to be too much focus on whether bringing back rail is worth the cost now, with valid arguments presented by both sides. That should not be the point. If we don't decide by March 15, 2023, to bring back rail service, we lose the transportation corridor as a right-of-way, and later, when we or future generations will indeed need it as the population continues to grow, it will then be prohibitively expensive, if not impossible, to get the rail corridor back or find an alternative. Restarting rail service on the island is a comparatively cheap investment in our future and should be seen as such, regardless of whether it is needed or even cost-effective today, which it might well turn out to be. If we lose the corridor now, it will cost us billions in the future. Paul Demon Victoria. The old rail service was no match for the Goose Re. Public transportation is needed more, letter, November 28. The letter downplaying the importance of active transportation is mostly uninformed nostalgia and pipe dreams. The underestimation of trails is astounding. The Galloping Goose alone carries 750,000 trips a year on an 80-kilometer corridor in the Capital Regional District. Via Rail claimed only 40,000 trips a year for the ENN on the 225 km corridor before it was shut down. Maybe someone should tell the writer about the 10 to 30 passengers projected between Courtenay and Qualicum with an improved service and the success of express buses in the CRD. Alistair Craighead Victoria. Consider options with your daily commute. Were I a commuter twice daily in my SUV, would I not consider traveling by motorbike, motor scooter, electric bike or even bicycle into and out of Victoria? Google traffic in Amsterdam and see how many thousands of bikes are parked. Do something, for goodness sake. Don't just sit in the traffic. Gr. Greg Victoria. Good rail service would help affordability. I and various other members of my community, and of other larger centers on Vancouver Island, have been firing off emails to all three levels of government asking for support to restore and improve passenger rail service here. I am adding my voice to that cause. Those who oppose its return are being very short-sighted, looking just at the few years of their own lives that would benefit only those who share their lifestyle. We need to look beyond 2026, and consider 50 years from now, how important such a service will be to an island whose population will likely have doubled. Failure to consider developing this public transit system will mean twice as many vehicles on the road, probably most still burning gasoline or diesel, asphalt replacement, and hours of sitting on the one highway we have now, braking, moving forward, braking, etc. A great deal of personal time wasted for hundreds of thousands of people. Victoria has just been awarded the title of most expensive city in BC, nationally also. Young workers can't afford to live there. Good rail service would allow for the development of much more affordable housing up island from the capital, and that would be of benefit to all. I urge our governments to support the Island Corridor Group, and approve this most worthy project. David Shepherd Mill Bay. Our new premier acts like a dictator despite the fact that we never had a provincial election recently. Our new premier, David Eby, appears to be acting as though the NDP is a victorious new party taking over the slackened reins of a defeated opposition party. His volley of recent pronouncements appears to be full of costly, new, solutions to help remedy everyone's deep concerns around physical and mental health care services, housing, crime and climate change. All these issues seriously deteriorated under the watch of this, his very same government. Heady stuff. But let's not forget that EB was previously up at the helm as both Attorney General and Housing Minister before his NDP cronies chose him as their new leader. He's been a key player in the very same provincial government that has been sitting on its hands watching all those issues rapidly deteriorate for the past 5 years. So even though he's our new premier, he's definitely not entitled to any honeymoon period of grace. That understood, two of his simplistic and undemocratic solutions to remedying some of his party's serious underperformances around inadequate housing issues appear to have gone to his unelected head. His recent draconian dicta that can seriously affect all property owners' rights and quality of life, regardless of the types of housing properties they own, certainly seem to suggest so. His first is the right of the provincial government to overrule municipal government land zoning. His second is the right of his government to override condo owners' strata choices regarding rental rules. Our new premier seems to be forgetting a major tenet of free election such as we tend to practice in Canada, namely, no dictators need apply. Having scored poorly in both his previous roles, does EB consider that merely dictating radical new measures for problematic issues will be a cure-all? If so, I hope voters will remember his government's tactics in 2 years' time. Unless, of course, he dictates new electoral rules as well. Jocelyn Scurlack Victoria Fear Mongering does not help re. Call for halt to school liaison officers questioned, November 29. This article should serve as a reminder and a wake-up call as to how a common-sense issue surrounding the efficacy of school liaison officers has even become questioned in the first place. Surely the head of the BC Human Rights Commission, Kasari Govender, must be in an alternate universe by suggesting this program should be eliminated because of her reference to American studies that have shown officers can contribute to a sense of criminalization and surveillance in schools. Really? Firstly, it is incumbent to recognize the American connection with these studies that draw conclusions based on somewhat different parameters than what one might deduce from reviewing the Canadian experience. As much as some like to think there are few differences between the respective police forces in Canada and the U.S., it is suggested there is a marked difference in both the circumstances and attitudes of many Americans toward police officers compared with how Canadians view our own police in a more respectful and enlightened manner. Also, it is necessary to consider the value-added aspect of having such a close community relationship between schools and the police in terms of promoting a better understanding of just where and how our officers fit in our society as both protectors and members of our communities. This is not a complex issue, but Govender seems intent on turning it into one by not only dismissing an important community-based program, but seemingly demonizing the police in the process. Words mean everything. And in this instance perhaps Govender needs to recognize that when pontificating about the rights of particular groups, there is also a responsibility to be transparent and balanced when leveling criticism at that which is working exceptionally well for the majority. The school liaison program is not a work in progress but a proven asset, and indeed a critical aspect of keeping our schools safe and students comfortable in their learning environment, and one that includes those she refers to as marginalized. Fear-mongering over a police presence is just that, and does a disservice to all concerned and certainly adds nothing to the public discourse. Clive King North Saanich Government Help Us Through These Times Finance Minister Selena Robinson has announced a $5.7 billion surplus. Billion, with a capital B ever since David Eby was appointed as the new premier, he has made multiple announcements of major spending initiatives to help the citizens of the province weather the storm of inflation, homelessness, mental health and addiction crises, social injustice, justice system failures et al. Everyone was asking where the money was coming from to pay for these programs, but apparently EB and his cohorts knew about the surplus long before it was announced. Robinson has stated that she does not know if these numbers will be sustainable going forward, which is entirely believable, because she apparently had no idea that they were about to appear. This shows that the Ministry of Finance has really no clue what the budget process involves. Anyone who is involved in making budgets, from household to small business, to major corporations, knows that you have to know your costs and then have a plan to cover those costs with whatever revenue sources are available to you to balance, or exceed those costs. If EB truly wants to help the average citizen through these difficult times, why not announce a cut to personal income tax, one of the identified drivers of this surplus, and or a reduction in the PST, also a contributor to the surplus, or a cut to the gas tax, any of which would have an immediate impact to the average taxpayer. But I imagine we will have to wait until the next election to see any of these obvious and beneficial changes, as politics trumps good governance every time. In the meantime, as my dear old granny used to say, figures lie and liars figure. Don Abernethy Port Alberni students can learn to trust police through school. Human Rights Commissioner Kasari Govender recommends that all school districts end the use of liaison officers in schools because for some students the officers contribute to a sense of criminalization and surveillance. I propose that for those same students the liaison programs should be encouraged and supported. When students see police officers playing ball on the school fields, explaining laws to the grade 4 class, holding a flag at the assembly or sitting in the book circle in the library, they learn that police are part of our community. If those students come from places where police are oppressive, then it is important they learn that in our country police are respected rather than feared. Seeing police officers in a positive and supportive environment will be a learning experience for all students. Marlene Lavallee, Victoria IF. You have a doctor. Support those without it is not a good sign when there is a large number of BC residents without family doctors. Most BC residents do not have any means or power to improve the situation, and it is essential that those who have the power and the means to rectify the situation make the changes. Socialized medicine is great for any country, but sadly the pitfall is that the insurance of its proper deliverance and functioning can be out of control when in the hands of those who do not see it as priority. Lack of family doctors is unsafe and can cause much suffering, and I hope the majority who happen to have family doctors not only feel lucky themselves but stand to support those who do not have one. Charity begins at home. Harry Kwok Sonich. Bill for a parcel, and nobody will talk. Emailed my Christmas packages to family a province over from this one. Cost was $19.58 for a 1 kilogram parcel. A bit high, I thought, but it's Christmas, so let it go. The final bill was $29.81. I wondered why there was so much tax, and was told they hadn't added the tax yet. What? No, they added the $2.50 charge as insurance in case they lose it, and a 40% fuel surcharge. 40%. What planet are these folks from? If I may be so bold, what the hell am I paying the $20 for if not to transport a package from my city to a house in another? I mean, that is to cover the transportation costs. And now they want more? A lot more? I have tried to contact Canada Post, but they don't want to talk to people. Go ahead. Try it. The world has gone mad, I tell you. Mad. M.D. David. Hanson. Victoria. Beware reliving the stagflation years. So, we learn that the province is to spend money from its surplus, rather than pay down debt. A welcome decision if the money is used productively, infrastructure, medical equipment, transportation improvements, etc. However, desirable and humanitarian as it may be, spending to offset the inflation that we are all experiencing is counterproductive. The Bank of Canada, like other central banks, is fighting inflation by raising rates in order to reduce consumption. Premier David Eby's efforts will serve to counteract this and prevent the BOC from achieving its goal. Inflation arises when there is too much money chasing too few goods. Premier Eby is stoking the fires of inflation by shoveling out support money to combat inflation. He should talk with the BOC and think carefully before proceeding down this road. Too many of us remember the stagflation of the 1970s. Roger Love Sonich. No magic solution to healthcare woes. Re. Surge of sick children in hospitals could force surgery cancellations, November 25. As difficult and worrisome as the current influenza epidemic is for families, and aside from the Liberals wanting to punt Adrian Dix out the door, what solutions are they proposing? Using a wand and top hat and pulling hospitals and healthcare resources out of it? The fact of our current situation is that the government isn't responsible for causing the influenza outbreak, and I suspect that they are as frustrated and concerned as we all are. It is all about supply and demand, of which they have little or no control. The demand for health resources has been exceeding the supply for several years. The supply issue is not going to be resolved, if at all, in a few years, and hospitals can't be created overnight and run without staff. These are the same shortages that are challenging every province at this time. Even the pay-as-you-go U.S. healthcare system is not immune. Sadly, there is no magic available to solve the current situation. Any Merlins who think they can, please step forward. John Stevenson. Victoria. Canada's healthcare crisis demands a protest. It is clear our political system at both the federal and provincial level is demonstrably incapable, without help, of fixing our public health system. A grassroots intervention is necessary. The citizen protest would start with complaint letters to all politicians of all political stripes, signs, rallies, etc. If this does not create movement, the ultimate step would be to refuse to pay taxes. When faced with a similar situation, Maggie Thatcher blinked and withdrew her infamous poll tax. Mike Wilmot. Oak Baywave. Learned a lot about cannabis. Re. Still too much we don't know about cannabis. Editorial, November 25. The notion that many young people view marijuana legalization as indicating a clean bill of health is rather specious, considering it's highly unlikely that any of them, much less many, view the legal status of cigarette smoking or alcohol consumption as an indication of a clean bill of health. After all, even teenagers occasionally die or suffer permanent paralysis playing or practicing football. Yet no one imagines that football is a safe game just because it's not illegal, so there really isn't a false impression in need of correction. And while edibles do offer a sound alternative to smoking, the stupid federal regulations and the insane prices at the official cannabis shops, combined with the ongoing lack of dosage control, false claims regarding THC content despite edibles being legal, all contribute handily to the continuing healthy black market. We should keep in mind that the repeal of alcohol prohibition in the U.S. resulted in a dramatic reduction in the consumption of hard liquor because beer, now safe to sell, was a lot cheaper. Ironically, the very people in the greatest danger of suffering ill effects from contaminated black market marijuana, the homeless and the otherwise destitute, are the same ones who can least afford to buy at cannabis shops. Yes, there are some problems with legalization, but those problems are caused by humans, not by marijuana. After 4,000 years of use, there probably isn't all that much we don't know about cannabis. George Kosinski Nanaimo lighten up for the year, and into the next one I was dragged up in England a good Christian kid. Christmas begins on Christmas Day and ends 12 days later on January 6, Old Christmas Day. There is a carol to that effect. Nowadays we have replaced Christmas with the non-religious, commercial winter festival that all may celebrate and that is a good thing. My problem is the dates. The commercial season beginning is vague and getting earlier. I had a glint in my eyes in mid-November this year, it was the neighbor's strings of lights, and I love them. We need defined calendar dates. I suggest we adopt American Thanksgiving, then Christmas sales may begin the next day. But my main problem is the commercial end of the season, precisely, closing time, December 24th. Obedient consumers that we have become, we copy this, decorations come down over the next few days leaving the dark days of winter, well, dark. My plea. Leave your strings of lights lit until at least Old Christmas Day, January 6th, but to avoid old religious references, call it Trump Day. Better make it around the end of January. Choose an old festival name. Imbolc, Disting, Candlemas, Groundhog Day. Lights look so cheerful during the dismal days of January. Am I alone? Joe Harvey Victoria Russian president shows his evil again. Vladimir Putin tells a group of Russian soldiers' mothers that he shares their pain. Surely Putin must now rank as one of the most evil men to have walked this earth. Alan Richards Victoria send us your letters, email letters to letters@timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road, Victoria, BCV 9A6X5. Submission should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.